This is podcast 381, and that was ABBA, S.O.S. And the title of the cast is Up the Down Staircase, which is a title of a 1967 excellent, albeit somewhat dated, movie with Sandy Dennis, based on an excellent novel of the same name. And the song by ABBA is reflective of the tremendous need of the human heart when we're rejected, when we lose the love that was coming our way, usually from rejection, sometimes from death, but in this case, very clearly the former. And I want to actually, in this short cast, give a kind of theoretical framework to the theology I've been kind of attempting to promote or offer in the last 380-ish podcasts. Someone says sometimes that I'm a romantic theologian. I'm certainly not a theological romantic, but the phrase is probably not right, but it makes sense because, and this is where we're trying today to put some real, I would call it some conceptual flesh on the bones without forgetting the bones. The power of the gospel of God's grace to sinners, to normal, everyday human beings, cannot be grasped through the head initially, and it can't even be grasped through the will, that is, through hortatory instruction or didacticism, or even advice if it's meant very well. It can only be received through the heart. The heart is the origin, as Thomas Cranmer said, of all human motivation and all human good and hope. And what I find is often the mistake of people, for example, who are neo-Orthodox or Karl Barth followers, and he still has quite a following, and for a time he destroyed all resistance. No one could fight against Karl Barth, who said, in reaction to an overly horizontal Christian church in the 20s and 30s, and earlier than that, what was at that time called theological liberalism, Barth parted company and said, the Christian faith is rooted in a divine word entirely from outside ourselves, which we can only receive in its fullness, and we cannot really, it's not about us, it's about him. It's not about a human being, it's about God, and it's a word from God, and that's where the whole focus is. And no one could really rebut him. It had a lot to do with his personality. He was very, very imperious and brilliant and imperious and canceled anyone who disagreed with him. And there was one German theologian with a very funny name, and I can't remember the name, but it's something like Wilhelm Wilhelm or Helmut Helmuts or Wasser Wasser. I mean, it's a strange name, Burton Burton. He said this. He said, but Herr Barth, we live here. Herr Barth, we live here. And the whole purpose of what I've been trying to teach and preach over the years is not to diminish the verticality and givenness of the affirmation that Jesus Christ died on the cross to save sinners, but rather to earth it. No, that's not quite the right word. To dig into the impervious human ego, a place, a landing place for that. Where do we hear it? Where can we hear it? Where can it make sense to us? And the interesting fact is it can make sense to us and does make sense to us because when and because we are in trouble. We are in pain, in sorrow. That is the point at which the message of altruistic love on God's part at a particular place and time in the human timescape, history, that where it'll reach us. When we're going from the bottom up. Theology from the bottom up is correct to say we are going up the down staircase, but we are meeting God, who is theology from the top down. In other words, it's not just theology from the top down, which is it doesn't land. And that accounts for the compartmentalization of so many people. They believe these things, but when the rubber hits the road, they don't, or they can't. They can't imagine it. And theology from the ground up could be purely, you know, anecdotal, based on experience. But that's where it happens. We're going up from the bottom. We're going up the down staircase. And that's why I chose that phrase, and it's evocative for me. And my theology is not theology from the ground up, nor is it theology from the top down. It is the theology that goes up the down staircase. Now, I'll give you two examples. There's so many. There are as many examples as there are people times five. And I'm going through a Hugo Haas phase, H-A-A-S. He was a Czech escapee, asylum seeker from the Holocaust, and his mother and father and his brother were both murdered at Auschwitz, and he was the real thing. And he fled very wisely Czechoslovakia before the Nazis came, and he escaped and got to Hollywood because he had a bit of a reputation as a director in Czechoslovakia, and he was put to work immediately as the director of B movies. That is to say, not major studio movies with great actresses, Rita Hayworth or Clark Gable, but with lesser-known actors and actresses. He had no money, so he had to raise his money, and he was very gifted, and he had no money, but he would make these very cheapy, melodramatic movies, mostly about older men who were middle-aged men his age, who were sort of taken in and seduced by gold-digging blondes who fell for it, the man, and lost everything because of it. And in these eight or so movies that he directed, and some of which were released by Universal or Paramount or Columbia, and one or two of which, and one of which, the one you have got to see, called Hold Back Tomorrow from 1955, it was just released this week on Blu-ray. You can get it right now. And oh, now he would throw in Christian elements. It's an explicitly Christian film, Hold Back Tomorrow, as is Strange Fascination, another wonderful movie. Again, don't expect high production values, but expect decent acting and somewhat, well, I would just call them weak scripts, but with an odd element of redemption. Anyway, oddly enough, Hugo Haas, was interviewed by Edward R. Murrow in 1958, which is a little odd. I mean, it's like interviewing, I don't know, the second fiddle bass player to a little-known backup band, you know. But he was interviewed, and the interview is wonderful. And one of the things he says is that he believes Hugo Haas does, as he makes these movies, that the core element of all human relations, of all human life, is love. And the power of love expressed through the faces of your children, your parents, and most importantly, the man or woman peer who bears your heart, your romantic lover, that face, those memories stay with you till the very day you die, and they are actually with you the moment your last moment. And he's absolutely right about that. I could give examples in my own life. You've heard some of them. Mary could say it, but many, many of you and others can say it. People who've come into a point of real physical jeopardy can very quickly tell you that if someone is there holding their hand, someone, to quote Rod McEwen, Look Down at Me, that song, Look Down at Me, that beautiful song, tender song by Rod McEwen. What a powerful moment. But that's what you need. You need love at the bottom of the staircase. And that love has to be altruistic, has to be focused on you, not on themselves. And that love will change everything. And then you start going up the down staircase, and that's where you meet God and you meet Jesus. People who are totally disappointed in love, or have had, you know, parents who didn't love them for a variety of reasons, there's always a reason, or who departed the scene, or who showed from the child's point of view that they didn't care in concrete terms for the existence of the child, especially adopted children. This is almost universal. there's something missing that can never be recapitulated, and and that's why so many of them leave the church. They either find the church looking for the love in God that they didn't have from a human being, or they reject it completely. Most people who hate the church or Christianity or you name it have been disillusioned fundamentally about the nature of love for themselves, and there is a profound grudge against reality, and it is played out. And so the love, as Hugo Haas said, it's the last thing you see. And love creates love, and it's the power of where everything happens. I'll give you one more example, and then I'll conclude with a very, very laid-back song, but really wonderful. My beloved friend Lloyd Fonville, my childhood friend, my best friend, who died some time ago, I've mentioned him before, but there came a moment. He was a smoker, and he never stopped, and he died really of basically complications related to COPD, and they were the issue, among other things, but they were the issue of a lifetime of heavy smoking, which he never gave up. And we tried a million times, but he just wasn't going to give up. Someone who's, it just wasn't going to happen. But at one point, the woman that he loved, he desperately wanted to have a baby. And he desperately wanted her to agree to have a baby, and she wouldn't do it for all sorts of reasons. I'm not putting blame, but it was a closed door. And finally he said, she said, look, and this was a real concession. She said, Lloyd, I'll be open to having a baby. I'm willing to, quote, have your baby with one condition, that you give up smoking. And he did. He went running around the block, whoop-de-doo, whoop-de-doo, whoop, I'm so happy, I'm so happy. And he gave up smoking. Now, I won't tell you what happened later, but he did it. Now, why did he do? Why was he able to do something that no one else in a million years could have persuaded him, admonished him, or simply gently hoped he would do, or prayed that he would do? No one really prayed, but somebody must have been praying for this. But he did it out of love. He was willing, his heart was so touched at the gesture that the person made, and more importantly, or at least equally as importantly, as the hope that he would have someone to love in the form of a little baby. That gave him the resource. The love that came from outside himself gave him the resource to love back, and he gave up smoking. Now, that was one of the most climactic. I won't tell you what the later history of that was, but what a remarkable thing. He's long dead. What a remarkable thing. And that's what it's all about. The staircase. We are going up. I don't mind being a romantic theologian and doing theology from the top, from the bottom up. But I'm also a theologian from the top down. It's not either or. It's both and. And you meet the theology from the top down when you go up the down staircase and your theology comes from the bottom up. The two are coterminous on the staircase. And that is what the theology is all about. Well, I'm going to close now by playing a Northern Irish song that I discovered years ago. It's by a Northern Irish group called Ash. And they're all Protestants. I mean, they won't tell you that. I think at least three of the four major, if not all four, and that's an ethnic term in this case. It's not a religious conviction term, but they all come out of the Northern Irish Protestant world, a world which I know and which I love, and Van Morrison's world, and them and others. And they produced this song in the 80s or early 90s. I forget when it was, and I first ran into it when I was at the Church of the Advent going to Northern Ireland. I absolutely love the song. It's very low key, but it just shows you that a highly, that theology from the top down, because the song is entitled Jesus Says, can meet theology from the bottom up. So listen to this really low key song, a little bit of Mantovani by Ash.